Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Uptown Alley in Manassas. Grant and Danny, it is the Friday Field Trip Series. Manassas representing today, Leesburg last week. We will let you know before we get out of here where stop number three is going to be. All we've told you so far is there will be stops in Virginia.
Yes.
There will be stops in Maryland.
Yes.
Both will be well represented on this tour.
That is true.
Because we were hearing from some folks in Maryland.
They were chirping.
They're going, why don't you guys ever come out here? Well, we're going to remedy that issue.
Yeah, like, well, first of all, we've only done, this is our second one, so you can't be like, we never go.
But in fairness, all time, 10 years together as a show, a lot of Virginia.
More Virginia.
Appearances.
Yeah, more Virginia. That is true.
So Maryland, led by Chris in Hyattsville.
Yeah.
Made a lot of noise.
Pretty much Chris in Hyattsville said stuff, if we're being real. I mean, we did the 106.7 The Fan, 980, everybody on stage and no one knew what to do event in Maryland. We did that. That was fun.
That we did.
Remember that? You were there.
That was an event.
I did. I made jokes about people that a couple didn't go over that great. I think guys are a little upset about that still.
I think mostly everyone played along nice.
Mostly everyone.
There might have been one or two people that were particularly offended.
There are a couple.
But in fairness, you went a little harder, I thought, on a couple of people.
Did you think so? There are a couple that were tough.
When you roast your peers, your staff, you're going to catch a little bit of heat coming back at you.
Yeah, it's inevitable, I suppose.
I want to go through some of the audio from the day with Dan Quinn and Jaden Daniels here because there's a lot of people getting out of the office, jumping in their car. Let's get everyone up to speed on what has happened today. So first on Dan Quinn, we could begin there. Quinn talking about the status of Jaden Daniels after the Friday practice. This is what he had to say.
Jaden was able to practice today. We followed the plan, really, that we set at the start of the week, and for you guys, think of like crawl, walk, run, like we do with a lot of guys, you know, on the return back from injury. So Wednesday into that first piece, Thursday on the walk piece to go, and then Friday to get the run. And we will assess how he responds to the work that we did, you know, over the next 48 hours. But we really pushed it today, and playing quarterback, the movements, the skills, and also specific to the game plan. You know, going through the whole thing, you know, all parts of the field. So we're really following that process, and we'll let our eyes, you know, decide how he responds over the next 48 hours. That'll guide us, and we'll make the best decision for him and for the team. And if he can't go, certainly have all the confidence in Marcus. It was a good week, and we stayed true to the process for Jaden of what we were going to do from Wednesday to Thursday. And then we really wanted to push him today to see where he would be, and then let's see what the next, you know, how he responds to that kind of push to go. But it was a good day.
Daniels listed as limited since those comments by Quinn, listed as questionable officially on the Friday NFL injury report. Which brings us to an important follow-up on if Daniels did work on the practice field during team drills in 11-on-11.
Yeah, we did some extra like strength and conditioning core work into that time. So we just wanted to make sure everything timed up so he could hit all the team portions together with everybody. So, yeah, it was just by design to get some more core and strength work prior to the big throwing sessions.
And then was he able to work in the bubble too?
Yes.
And what were the just normal pre-practice routine stuff there?
Yeah, like all the guys go through a similar process to go, but we wanted to work through some skills specific to, you know, the game plan. And so that's, you know, why we did that one. But, yeah, all four of the guys kind of worked through the same stuff.
This was Dan Quinn on if there are any limitations placed on him. Obviously, there had to be some because he was limited
by nature,
practice.
Yeah.
So where were those? What was he willing to divulge?
No, just the opposite, in fact, Nikki. Okay. We really wanted to push it today. And so that's why I think it's important because you have to push it in all the – not just you know, the quarterback specific things, but also within the game plan. So we really pushed it today, and so that's what really the next, you know, day and a half will be about, see how he responds, because you have to do that. And that was kind of part of the plan, to get in through Wednesday, Thursday, as many of the walkthrough reps as you can, which is, you know, considerable amount, but you have to push it to see where you're at. So that's what today was about.
So to that point, the next 2 days now, the next day and a half, I guess he said, and we'll get to a cut on what they want to see. But the suggestion by Dan Quinn today was he came out of the practice well. Now we've got to wait and see how he responds over the final 2 days. That leads you to believe there's a decent chance he plays.
That's what it feels like.
Looking ahead,
right?
Acting like, oh, he's fine today, but let's make sure, he didn't use this word, let's make sure there's no setback.
Yeah.
So that's where I think a lot of the people that listened to the Dan Quinn presser today came out of that with the idea that maybe Jaden Daniels will play.
And that's kind of where I'm at here. So, again, I am not comparing myself to Jaden Daniels. I want to be very clear. But I pulled my hamstring in college once. And that was I sort of naively assumed, I will work my way back up and then be able to play. And the trainer said, well, the most important thing is you actually go hard before you actually get back in a game and pull it again. Or if the most strenuous thing you do before you play, you know, we're going to be surprised one way or the other. I need you to do something hard, then see how you bounce back and recover. That lets you know the healing process. That's what that sounds like to me. That's not a, we're just going to take this day by day and see where we are, and the timeline may not ramp up, or we may not be able to ramp up in time. This is, you're good enough to go hard today, even though he was limited, which again is another governor on this, but you're good enough to go hard today, so we're going to see how you recover tomorrow. Let's say, for sake of argument, tomorrow he's like, I can't pick my arm up over my head, I've never been this sore in my life. Well, then they know, they shut it down. He'll probably play next week. But if he recovers fine, he's already gone hard this week. That tells me he's further ahead, at least in my estimation. This is my interpretation. He's further ahead of where I thought he would be, based on my advanced medical degree.
I'm completely speculating. I have no inside information on this. I just believe one way or the other they've known for several days if he's playing or not. Whether it's that he's pretty okay and he's going to play,
yep,
which I think is less likely, or he was super banged up and they didn't want to push it this week and they just told him, hey, we're getting Marcus Mariota ready to go, we'll shut it down, let's keep it a mystery though, let's make sure we list you limited, let's not let you throw in front of anyone, you'll throw in the bubble. Like, that's kind of where I've been leaning all week, is the they're not going to be aggressive, they're going to be conservative, mm-hmm, side of things. But I do believe one way or the other, I just don't know which. I think since Tuesday or Wednesday, they've had a pretty good idea on what's going on. And they're not just day-to-day, as if they're suggesting,
uh-huh,
going to keep checking on how he's feeling. Because to me, there's no real reason to do that. It's not like this is a massive must-have. They're all big. There's only 17 games. They're all significant. But this is not a playoff game. This is not a Week 18 division championship game. This isn't a game in the division against a team you're vying with for the top spot. You want this game, just like you wanted Carolina, just like you're going to want Pittsburgh or whoever else you got coming up on the ledger. But I see this as, whichever way it's leaning, they know a lot more than they're leading on, obviously, and
yep,
they probably already know and have known for a few days where it's headed. This was Quinn on what he suggests. This is now him saying it is unknown, it's going to be closer to a game-time decision, and the next 2 days are going to determine Jaden's fate for playing. I don't know that I buy it, but this was Quinn today. Take him at his word if you want.
I think the response to say that you're feeling good, you know, like that you're not in pain to do that. So it's like, how does your body respond from really getting pushed to go? And so I would say that's what we need to see. The testing is ongoing to get to that spot, but it was a good day.
Dan Quinn with the media earlier today. How about Jaden Daniels? So before we play this audio, I thought Jaden came off well, as he always does.
Yes.
I love the kid. Like, it's funny now being in my 30s calling him a kid. But everything he does at the podium makes me like him more.
Uh-huh.
He's just likable. He's personable. I haven't interacted with him much, very, very limitedly at training camp. But I really liked the person. I thought his demeanor was that of someone who's completely at ease. Now, is that because he's not
That's how
pain
he comes across, and, yeah.
But is it because he's not hurt and he knows it? Or is it because he's not that stressed because he already knows he's not going to play? I don't know. Mm. But he was laughing. He was, you know, this big smile. He was kind of making jokes with the reporters. They asked him, what's the injury? It's a rib thing. Yeah, but what with your rib? It's right here.
It's in the rib area.
He just kind of, he doesn't know. But he's also a young guy who's being told, You can't say all of these things. You know what the truth is. Avoid that. You know what I'm saying? Like, whatever it is, whether it's that he can't say that he has a cartilage injury. He knows what his injury is. Mm-hmm. They don't want any information out. I thought he played along well. It's about 2 minutes of Jaden Daniels with reporters earlier today.
Feel good.
Do you expect to play Sunday?
Do I expect to play? I want to play, but not my decision.
What's the injury?
Something to my rib. It's kind of hard to explain, but something to that area right there. Like I said, I mean, I feel good. Been treatment, all that, trying to get back right and get myself a chance to go out there and be confident to play. And, you know, ultimately the trainers and Adam and DQ, they make the decision to let me play and stuff like that. You know, they feel confident too.
What do you need to see from yourself to feel comfortable going out there?
My thing is just, I mean, I got 48 hours to see how I feel, and we'll just go from there.
I imagine the pain was noticeable at the injury and maybe the day after. How has it progressed during the week?
Yeah, I mean, kind of with time and rest comes, you know, from Sunday to now, it feels better, but, you know, I still got some time. I still got some marks that I need to hit to, you know, they feel comfortable putting me out there.
Like, how much of this is caution, too, as you guys are assessing how you feel?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's football at the end of the day. Things happen. Sometimes you might have to fight through something. But if you could go, you could give it your all and be smart about it. Obviously, they wouldn't put me in any position they wouldn't feel comfortable in. For my future, I don't want to put myself in that predicament either.
What's the hardest part to get used to for you with this? Like, what's the lingering issue, I guess? Is it pain? Is it more just comfort throwing?
I think it's a mixture of a lot of stuff. I can't really just pinpoint one thing, but, you know, it's kind of just keeping me in the training room and trying to put myself in the position to go out there and play.
Last one.
How much do you look forward to this specific game? Obviously, you and Caleb as the first two picks.
I mean, I look forward to it. I mean, respect to Caleb and everybody, but I look forward to trying to play every game. It's not who I'm playing against. Chicago is a good team, but, you know, I'm looking forward to go out there. And hopefully if I play, if I don't, it is what it is. We'll be moving forward, but I treat every game the same.
He's so smart.
I just love him so much.
I think the PR staff, sounded like Charlie Millay was with him at the press conference. They probably got back behind the door, closed the door, and Charlie high-fived him. Like, yeah. You crushed that. You did it. Everything you were supposed to do, you did.
By the way, Charlie was not going to let two more questions go. One more. You heard it. Everyone's like, okay, that's it.
That was a quickie.
That was authoritative, Charlie.
That press conference was a quickie. That was 2 minutes, and we are done.
But, yeah, I think you said it very well earlier on in the show. Whatever you think you've seen, you just saw. Right? Like, whatever your perception is, man. By the way, I've gone back and forth 7 times.
What's funny is, I said this earlier in the show. Yeah. I have had people text me to say, he's definitely playing. Or, I just listened to the press conference. No way he plays. You're just confirming your priors, probably.
Yeah.
But I do think if there's such a thing as, like, you just woke up out of a coma today, you listen to Dan, you listen to Daniels, I would think you would assume he's going to play based on how they talked and what they said. My added context of the week, Wednesday nothing, Thursday nothing, Friday your only throws are without anybody watching you that's not a team employee, that's where I lean toward he's not going to play. But I think if you just read the transcript of Quinn and Daniels, you would assume he plays.
Am I putting more stock in the questionable designation than you are?
What
I think
mean?
I am. To me, the most we could find out is with the injury designation.
Well, he was going to be questionable.
Did you think so? So I didn't know that.
What did you think was
as bad as I thought earlier in this week, that he'd be doubtful, and that would be the end of it.
Well, but as soon as he practiced today, if he did not practice again today, I still think they would have listed him questionable because the worst case scenario for them at that point is he doesn't play, and the Bears may have thought for another couple of hours that Marcus Mariota was playing. Not Mariota. By the way, I don't think this matters as much as teams do. I have no problem with teams trying to keep information in-house.
Mm-hmm.
None. Everyone used to get so mad at Mike Shanahan when I covered him. He hated divulging information. I say this all the time. I would ask him a question at a press conference about a player. He would say, I have no idea. I'm not a doctor. And, well, what do I know? That guy's – He may or may not play. And then 5 minutes later, I'd bump into him in the building, going into the locker room. He'd be like, yeah, he's playing. I mean, he was one thing at the podium, another thing off. And a lot of guys are that way. I have no problem with teams. He really believed, by the way, every week, Mike Shanahan, this is, would have his PR people, he would hire people that would put together a giant packet of information on the opponent just based on everything that was said at their press conferences. Everything their players said about the game plan, everything the coaches said, and he thought you could figure some things out that way. I just don't believe that. I don't think that really matters. I think if the Bears prepare for Daniels and then they go to Mariota or vice versa, they're preparing for both. There's enough time in the day. Stylistically, the offense will not be that different. I just refuse to believe it's a factor. But I don't have an issue with the team doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually probably best practice. But that's why they were always going to have him questionable. They were always going to make sure he was limited today. The limited designation, Danny, to me, that's the ultimate misleader, potentially.
Yep.
It could mean he did everything, and they said, hey, man, go stand over there for three reps. All right, he's limited. And he's perfectly fine.
Yeah, there's a big tent. You could be under the tent and be limited, yeah.
Or I've seen this,
it's
too.
It's not the Ron Rivera. Extremely limited, mind you.
Very unlimited.
Extremely limited.
Extremely limited.
Extremely limited.
The other side, and I've seen this, is there's no chance a guy's going to play. He's super banged up. And they say, go out there for a couple of drills. Go walk around so we can list you limited and list you questionable. And they know, but they just want to keep the other team guessing.
Mm.
So that's where, I mean, we could go round and around on this.
Yeah.
They've done an amazing – if their goal was, let's make sure Grant and Danny don't know what's going to happen on Friday at 5:30.
Mission accomplished.
They crushed it.
Yeah, if this was a counterintelligence op, so to speak.
Yeah.
Mission accomplished.
By the way,
dude,
they didn't used to be able to do this in
this
building.
No, they couldn't pull it off, man.
Keeping secrets, keeping everyone on the same page, having the GM and the head – which never existed – and the head coach and the quarterback and all the players on the same page so that they're all reading from the same document as they're answering questions. This is fairly new.
I was saying this actually yesterday morning to a couple guys that come over to play pickleball. They're asking me about, you know, what it's like with this team and everything this year. And I said as it relates to this Jaden Daniels thing, this is one of the bigger differences. Obviously, like a competent organization, good ownership, and decent people treating human beings well, that's kind of a given. But just in terms of how it manifests itself, the old way, it was one of the leakiest ships there was or there ever will be, because everybody wanted you to know, not you personally, but everyone out there to know, this isn't my fault. It was a cover-your-ass culture.
Oh, constantly.
Right? Everything was bad from on high, so, you know, somebody had to say, like, yeah, that was a decision that got made. I want you to know that it wasn't me because I got to update my
fear.
Yeah, because I got to update my resume at some point. And the ship was always sinking, and the rats were always jumping off. And it drove Bruce crazy. Bruce and Dan cared more about that than the actual bad stuff. It was their job was to root out the leaks as opposed to, like, fixing the root problems that made everybody go, I should probably tell somebody about this. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's a much better culture. Well, the way that manifests itself is you and I at 5:20 on Friday have no earthly idea if Jaden Daniels is playing or not. Like, that's the departure. And, again, this is all bonus. This is all fun, right? We're talking football stuff, if the star quarterback, who's great and a godsend, is going to play or not.
All right, we're going to get some intel, though. Ben Standing's been at the park all week long. He's been in the locker room the last couple days. He's been talking to coaches. He's going to join us. He covers the team for The Athletic. We will ask him point blank about Daniel's status. He's got a better educated guess than we do. And then we'll get into who else is going to be in and out and what he likes for Washington in this matchup for Chicago, where they're going to struggle. We'll do that next. We're live at Uptown Alley in Manassas. If you're in the area, swing on by. It's Friday. You're getting out of work. Weekend looms. Come have a drink with your buddies. Eat something delicious out of the fryer.
Have the beer that looks with our faces on it.
Yes. Is that still here?
Have our face beer. They don't make
it
anymore?
It is.
Oh, it's gone?
But let's just tell people to do it anyway.
Yeah.
You guys know that our
imagine my face on a beer.
We're on beer. You had one of those. Was it good?
Delicious.
Good. He said it was delicious.
So delicious.
Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Grant and Danny on the Fan at Uptown Alley in Manassas. Welcome back live. We are out and about our Friday field trip. Each and every Friday ahead of Commanders football, we will be spanning the DMV, finding a location to broadcast from. We just finalized our schedule for the season as well. We're excited about that. Outside of the Commanders, we'll get back to them with Ben Standing of The Athletic joining us in a moment. Wizards opened last night, 0-1. Not surprising, although there were some moments there you can feel good about. The big news for them is that Bub Carrington's okay. He got hurt last night. Yep. Sounds like he's going to be back and just fine. World Series game one tonight in Los Angeles.
Your Yankees are going.
My Yankees.
Longtime Yankees fan.
Big strong, but I do love Juan Soto.
Who plays for the?
Yankees.
Big time Yankees fan.
And I want Juan Soto to win another World Series.
For the Yankees.
But here's what I'm actually hoping for.
Yeah.
Shohei Ohtani to ball out. Aaron Judge to have a heck of a series. Juan Soto to never get out. I want the stars to be stars. This is a elite AL, elite NL, yeah, high payroll matchup that's kind of a dream scenario for a baseball nerd. Let's just have good baseball games.
Shtick aside, I actually do what I'm looking for because neither team's any good to me. I don't want either one to win. But I want the stars to be stars. I don't want like a Cody Ross as the hero kind of thing. I want my Ohtani Soto duel to go back and forth. That's what I'm looking for.
Let's go to the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app. Visit BetQL.com. Our pal Ben Standing of The Athletic. Benjamin, thank you for some time. We will start with the most important question of the day, and that is Jaden Daniels' health. Do you think he plays on Sunday?
I mean, it's all the most important question is all relative. I have no idea what I'm doing for dinner, but I don't know, man. If you guys were the morning show and you'd had me on this morning, I would have said I don't think he's playing for all the probably obvious reasons. You know, he's just too important. You know, to roll the dice. If you're telling me he's week to week, which is what Dan Quinn told us on Monday, week to week historically to me means you're probably out a week and then see where you are after that. He didn't practice the first 2 days. Now he's limited. If we're talking about like a 30-year-old quarterback, you know, been there, done that guy, that might be one thing, but with him, I would think you would be more cautious. But that said, they did have him practice today, apparently. Dan Quinn said they worked him out pretty hard to see what he can do, you know, like to make sure that they put him through everything he would possibly have to deal with on the game day. And now they'll see over the next 48 hours what that feels like. If you made me guess, I guess I would still lean towards no. But after today, I feel much more uncertain. Because of what they've done to my brain,
Ben, yeah, seriously, Ben, this is the greatest like counter op in the movie in the history. It's like a spy novel. What's going on here? But to me, the last point you just brought up tells me, and again, I want your take on this, that he's further along maybe than idiots like me thought. And I guess here's what I mean: if we're at the point of ramp up to see how he feels, that's different than he's just got to rest this thing because he's pretty banged up and we weren't going to see anything. In other words, if we're already at the ramping phase, that's ahead of what I thought. And because of that, I now think he's playing. But I'm also, you know, you could ask me again in 5 minutes, I might have a different view.
Yeah, I mean, I have thought all along that this wasn't like a massive injury. That like, okay, maybe he misses one game, but then he should be okay. You know, he obviously looks to be in pretty good spirits when he went back on the field, which, you know, who knows what they shot him up with, if anything. So who knows what he was thinking about at that moment. But, you know, a rib injury is, you know, one of those confusing injuries to a degree because it is a lot of pain tolerance. I know last week Dorrance Armstrong sat with a rib injury. And when I talked to him during the week, I was like, hey, you know, kind of how you feeling? He's like, oh, you know, like coughing hurts, sneezing hurts, all those kinds of things. So it's hard to know exactly where Jaden Daniels is in that regard. But, yeah, I mean, again, this is what my whole thing is. What is the definition of week to week? Is that something – because it's not something that's on the injury report. Is that a real thing or is that just what Dan Quinn said, et cetera? Because if he had said day to day, well, then none of this was happening right now. It would be a surprise. But the week to week part is what threw me. So, yeah, it's good to know that like he's at minimum – doesn't seem too far away, it appears, but I still question that he would play. But that may ultimately just be me being, you know, how I would run things or being a nervous Nelly or whatever, that I would, especially for him, for what he represents, I would just be hard-pressed to throw him out there if I had any doubt, like 1% doubt, I would not do it.
Yeah, that's well said, and I think it's kind of how I feel, almost in lockstep. But I'm wondering if you're with me on this too, and it doesn't sound like you are as much. I think that one way or the other, either this thing's been a little bit more serious than people thought, and they knew on Monday or Tuesday that he wasn't going to play, and this is just kind of a charade to keep the guessing game going, or vice versa, where maybe they've known for most of the week that he has a really good chance to play, and they knew all along the target date to get him a little bit of work was Friday. He'll do his VR stuff off the field, and he'll be ready to go. And that this idea of, like, let's see how he is tomorrow, there's some truth to some of that, but game time decision, next 48 hours, that all of that is a little bit gamesmanship. And I think it's kind of one or the other in terms of they've known since Monday or Tuesday. You don't buy that?
Well, Dan Quinn said today that they stuck to their plan, and that included Jaden Daniels getting out there today to get in some work. So that would mean that they had a plan earlier in the week, whether that was Monday or Tuesday, to say, let's get him, you know, working with the training staff for most of the week, but with the target of getting him out there on Friday to put in some work. That could either mean that, you know, A, like what you're saying, that it wasn't that big of a deal. They still wanted to give him some rest, but hopefully one day of practice would be enough to have him acclimated for the plan as well as to test his rib. Or it was, hey, look, I think there's probably no chance he's going to play, but let's go through the steps. We're going to take everything with him. We got to keep focus on him because of what he represents. So let's give him that rest, get him out there on Friday, see where he's at, just to do it, if nothing else, because we, you know, and then go from there. So I know I'm not giving much of a definitive answer because, like I said, they have kind of taken any confidence I had with what's going to happen off the board. But yeah, I mean, as stupid as it sounds, if he plays, then obviously the injury wasn't as bad as it seemed to be when you say week to week.
All right, Ben Stanek of The Athletic with us here on G&D. All right, so let's go through the two scenarios. If Jaden Daniels plays, dot, dot, dot. If Jaden Daniels doesn't play, dot, dot, dot. Take it wherever you want.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, if he plays, then, you know, presumably they believe he can do all the usual stuff we've seen him do, and that obviously is great. I would think they would say to him, young man, please don't run into traffic as much as you want to do at times. I don't know that he'll listen, which would also be part of my concern, not just if he could go, but just that, hey, is he going to take, I don't want to say unnecessary hits because he's trying to get the extra yards or what have you, but that would be a concern. But beyond that, look, this team is, you know, tied for the league lead in points with the Ravens. The offense has been on fire. The Bears certainly have one of the better defenses in the league, but, you know, you'd feel pretty good about your chances based on the way things have gone. If it's the other way and he's out and it's Marcus Mariota, look, at a minimum, they have a guy who's played in this league. He's not going to be, you know, nervous or anything about getting back out there. It would be his first start since 2022. Now, he obviously did look very good in this game this last week, but Carolina is a total mess. And based on what we saw for most of the summer, you know, Mariota did not look particularly sharp. That's why the idea of a quarterback competition never really held up to the smell test. It looked like it was going to be not just because Jaden Daniels was good, but because Mariota wasn't showing a ton. I think they would have to throw a lot more underneath, I would imagine, fewer deep shots. And I think the real key is going to be getting a lead so you don't have to rely on him having to throw the ball in obvious passing downs. I think if that happens, I think that's where they can get into trouble. But he certainly gives them a puncher's chance, if not more than that, to get the win.
Why not just shut him down, try again next week, and have him for those three division games, I guess, rhetorically, is what I've been thinking all along, unless he's 100% okay. But that's not what it sounds like when Dan Quinn speaks. Grant and Danny with us, Ben Standing of The Athletic. So what's your prediction here for this weekend? Call your shot.
Well, despite the uncertainty with the quarterback, and even if I say I don't think he's going to play, I'm going to ride with the good vibes. You know,
wow.
What's so interesting about this game is both of these teams are kind of in the same bucket. They've looked pretty good, haven't beaten anybody that's any good, at least on paper, right? Or, you know, based on the win-loss record. The Bears have a very good defense, but, you know, I think their offense has some questions. Now, the issue is that I don't think Washington's defense is nearly as good as it looked against Cleveland and Carolina. If they don't get a pass rush and Caleb Williams can sit back and look for Keenan Allen and DJ Moore, who obviously murdered Washington last year, Rome Odunze, Swift has been pretty good for them as well, then I think it could potentially be a bit of a long day, because Washington secondary, the corners, when the pass rush hasn't been there, they've gotten exposed. But again, I just think, between Brian Robinson, the way Kingsbury has called plays, Mariota, you don't have to completely hide him or anything. He can be effective. You just have to know, don't put him in bad spots. So, I guess I'm going 20-17, a bit more of a low score than they've been in most of this year. But, I'm rolling with the vibes as much as anything else.
Benjamin, thank you as always, buddy. Enjoy the weekend.
Fellas, have a good one. See you.
See you, pal.
We will see you at Northwest Stadium over in Landover, Maryland. There's Ben Standing of The Athletic. We got a Commander's Spotlight coming your way next. Who's got to shine to help them win? Top of the hour, we'll go around the NFL with all the Week 8 matchups, and then we will make our big, bold predictions for the Commanders. Final score, MVP, all coming up as we take you up to 6:30 tonight, live from Uptown Alley. If you're in Manassas, come on by and say hello. We will be here until we sign off in about 50 minutes on The Fan. So a listener named Will just came up and said hello. He called us when Dan was selling the team.
Uh-huh.
At the moment, his wife was having contractions with the baby that is now a year and a half that we just met.
That's pretty neat.
But that's how excited he was. He's like, yes, the contractions, I understand. We got to get to the hospital. But first, I'm going to call my guys G&D because Dan's selling the Washington football outfit.
Honey, how far apart are the contractions? Okay, I got time.
Yeah, we got
hey, guys,
couple of minutes. The hospital can wait. The
What's
baby
up, G&D?
Can wait. Guys, Dan's selling the team. Yeah. Let's go. I love it.
Hell yeah.
And the baby, she's cutie. She's in an
adorable
Alfred Morris jersey. Love that. By the way, good to see. We never talked about this week. The amount of players that came back for the alumni weekend, a lot of which last weekend was because of the retirement of Daryl Green's number, but also because of the work that Tim Hightower's putting in.
Yes.
And more importantly, not to slight Tim, but he's been doing that for several years, the outreach from the owners. These guys legitimately care about building a bridge from the past to the present.
Mm-hmm.
Things that people don't know about, don't notice, don't see. Mitch Rales donated $10,000 at one point in time to Mike Sellers, who was going through some health issues less than a calendar year ago. Mitch Rales wasn't the owner of the team. He was just a fan at the time Mike Sellers was playing, but it's part of the family.
So it sounds like trivial stuff. And I know fans, most of you guys are going to tune in on the weekend and hope they win the game or not or otherwise. I'm telling you, these little things, you're building a fortress. You're building the giant castle, and this is part of it. You do the dinner for the alumni players, not to get something out of them, not to sell tickets to the general public for some sort of come meet this guy and let's get some goodwill that way. You just let them have a nice dinner and let them reminisce. Let them shoot the bull. Let them carve the steak up and talk about the time Riggo showed up hungover or whatever you want to do, right? That's how you build the sense of community where it doesn't feel trite. It doesn't feel like, quick, we need some good PR, trot out a legend, go get one of the hogs or something like that. You do it this way, classy all the way, and you then build this alumni sense in the community, and it's happening, and then everybody's pulling the rope in the same direction.
It's time for a Commander's Spotlight ahead of Week 8 as they get ready for the Chicago Bears coming to town in the DMV. We will avoid the quarterback situation.
Mm.
We've been talking about it all day, but I'll pick up the Commander's Spotlight with Brian Robinson, because with or without Jaden Daniels handing him the football, he's going to be pertinent on Sunday. If you look at B-Rob, he has consistently gotten into the end zone. Four consecutive games played. He has scored five touchdowns in those four games, coming off of a 6 yard per carry average against Carolina. Only had 12 carries and piled up over 70 yards. I'm looking at a possibility this week where he could go for 100 for the third time. Went for a 133 against the Giants, 101 against Arizona. Why not running performance number 3 over the century mark for B-Rob in this game.
I think that's going to be the plan, by the way, with or without Jaden Daniels. I think there's going to be some thumpage. So I'm going to stay in the backfield. To me, these are the kinds of games why you keep Austin Ekeler fresh. I think you might need a little extra Austin Ekeler against a really good defense like this. Keep a team off balance. You know, you can afford to only give him a couple touches against Carolina as you're walking up and down the field scoring a touchdown every other second. Against a team where maybe yards are harder to come by, that's your best easy button. Not the Randy Moss easy where you throw it up to him and he goes and gets it. And quite literally, there's a verb based on that guy's last name. But the quick one that turns into 7, the little handoff that he converts into 8 or 9, I think this could be a double-digit 12-15 touch game for Austin Ekeler. To me, this is why you have someone like that for a really good defense to create matchup problems. You can keep him in reserve against someone that stinks for games like right now this week. I think this is a big Austin Ekeler game.
How about spotlight wide receiver position Terry McLaurin? When Marcus Mariota came into the game, it was pretty obvious he thought Terry's down there somewhere. I'm going to let him make the plays. I'm going to throw him the football. Please make me look good. And this is not any shade toward Jaden Daniels, but that 6-catch, 98-yard, 3-quarter performance with Mariota, it just seemed like he was being fed more consistently in the middle of the field than he has all year long. Those in-breakers, those digs, those deep crossing routes, the stuff that we haven't seen as much of. He's kind of run go balls and stuff to the outside of the sideline with Daniels. I think maybe Mariota is comfortable throwing some of those in-breakers that he likes so much. So 6 targets, 6 catches, 98 yards. He's had 6 or more catches in 3 straight games, 4 of 5 games now dating back to the Cincinnati contest for Terry McLaurin.
Last year, DJ Moore, DJ Moore, DJ Moore, 230 yards and 3 touchdowns against Washington on Thursday night.
By the way, is it weird we haven't talked about that game at all? I know it was a different regime, mostly different players. Maybe it's irrelevant. But they played the Bears last year, and it was this season-ruining, awful disaster at home that no one saw coming. I guess we shouldn't bring it up, but that did happen
last year
at this time.
And DJ Moore probably enjoys seeing Washington on the other sideline. This secondary, most specifically, Benjamin St. Juste, let's go. It's got to be better than it was last year.
We are giving you a Commander's Spotlight right now on Grant and Danny live from Uptown Alley in Manassas. You are locked in on 106.7 The Fan. Continuing our spotlight, how about wide receiver Luke McCaffrey?
Are they booing or are they saying Luke?
Luking, I believe. How about 11 targets, 11 catches, Zippy on the stat sheet last week?
Yeah,
he
I was wrong.
Barely involved. At some point, I know the McCaffrey game's coming. He's open too often. Hadn't happened yet. Why not this week?
Yeah, again, this is kind of my theme, talking about who's going to step up here. This is a really good team. It's the best game, best team they've played in terms of maybe overall resume outside of Baltimore, but offense, defense. This, to me, is a guy that hasn't done it yet, but maybe now you find that scheme up for him to be open. I'm going to go Noah Brown. Same difference. They're going to key on Terry McLaurin. They'll key on Ekeler maybe underneath. Maybe this is a Noah Brown deep ball game. Maybe he catches, 3, 4, 5 passes for some key first downs. He's been good when called upon. I suspect he'll be called upon.
I'll give you 2 quick ones here on defense. Emmanuel Forbes had his first pick of the season.
Yeah, he did.
Second pick of his career last week. He has not solved all of his issues. It was a bad ball. He read in zone, made a break on the play. You know he's got ball skills. That's how he went first round because he is the all-time record holder in pick sixes in college in a season. That said, I'd like to see if he could string a couple of weeks together with big plays. Maybe it's a PBU on a third down to get off the field. Maybe he does get his hands on another football. That would be quite a story. And the other guy who's been surging on defense is Dante Fowler. 67-yard pick six this past week. Also flew across the line of scrimmage for a stop on a 4th and 1 for a turnover on downs. He's got sacks in 3 straight. He's had 4 sacks in the last 3 games. Dante Fowler, arrow trending up.
Quick one, Ben Sinnott. Our first tutty last week. I do think there's more coming in terms of his involvement in the pass game, but you're going to see a lot of him as a blocker, and I think he's going to be available.
We're going to be going around the NFL before we get out of here next. Also, our predictions for the Commanders and the Bears. We will also take some predictions from our audience on site here at Uptown Alley. We want to hear what the people out here who are kind enough to spend their afternoons with us think about this game. It's coming your way next. We are live in Manassas. You're listening to G&D on The Fan.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.